Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About Conflict. My name is Lynn Nash, and I'm your host. And when I'm not recording podcasts, I'm an attorney mediator working in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to talk about letting go of perfection. Yes, everyone loves that word, right? Perfection. So do you believe you need to be perfect? Do you believe that wading into an uncomfortable situation that's fraught with conflict and unknowns is going to demonstrate that you're not perfect? Don't worry. Most of us, with trying to get it right or trying to be perfect at our jobs, with our families, serious attorneys, we carry a ton of anxiety on this word alone, on the word perfect, because our clients kind of expect us to be perfect or we're not actually doing our jobs. That's really complicated. We're human, and so perfect is kind of maybe not, but it comes with the territory, it comes with the job, it comes with holding on to somebody else's problems. Okay. So yes, hey, shout out to my lawyer friends, because no one's really perfect, but we all kind of struggle with this concept of perfect. And so today what we're going to really talk about is trying to let go of perfection, let go of how we hold ourselves to something that's probably unattainable. And maybe we shouldn't even want to attain it, which we'll get to in a second. So have you ever felt that perfection is required to do a quote unquote good job? To be good, you need to try to be perfect. So if perfection is the goal most of us set for ourselves, is it attainable? And should it be attainable? And if you attain perfection in one thing, are you ever going to find it again? And all of those fabulous requirements to be the top grade earner, or to be the top salesperson, or to be the top, the best, societally in America, we put a lot of weight on this concept of trying to be perfect. And so to pull it back into a framework, let's look at Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection. It's kind of her first book. And I think it really helps to break these concepts down so that we can, as not, you know, Dr. Brown is a phenomenal researcher and someone who's really put a lot of time and energy and soul searching into these concepts. So let's take what she's given us, a framework, and learn from it. Dr. Brown identifies that shame is the birthplace of perfectionism. Love the word shame. Does everybody want that word in their life? Okay. Brown identifies that shame is the birthplace of perfectionism. And she goes on to explain that perfectionism is not self-improvement, right? All we do on the show is work on improving our skills so that we can do a better job as we get into difficult situations. Perfectionism is not self-improvement. And yeah, there's more. Perfectionism can create a mental process accepting that a person believes I am what I accomplish and how well I accomplish it, right? So if you get into perfectionism, you can create this process in your own mind saying, I am only what I accomplish and I am only how well I accomplish it. And then these three words, please, perform, perfect. Perfectionism is not the same thing as striving to be your best. This is all still Dr. Brown's framework. Perfectionism is not self-improvement, and perfectionism is not the same thing as striving to be your best. Instead, Dr. Brown goes on to say that perfectionism can become a shield that we use to minimize or avoid the pain of blame, judgment, or shame. Ooh. Okay, a shield. Perfectionism becomes a shield. This is such a visual. We're going to shield ourselves with it. And fortunately for us, we're using words like guilt and shame and what does this mean and blame. Brown gives us a way to understand the terms guilt and shame. And this is someone who has spent her entire career focused on researching this, so I feel really comfortable using her works. I would encourage you to go and read or listen to this book for yourself, The Gifts of Imperfection. because this is not Lynn Nash. This is truly Dr. Brown, and she is a specialist. So Dr. Brown's definitions of guilt and shame are the following. Guilt means I did something bad. So an example I would use is, you know, when I'm not very nice to the amazing Steve Nash and I'm snippy and I kind of zap out at him when it really isn't about him at all. And then I feel guilty about it. And I turn back around and say, I am really sorry. That is not about you. And I'm kind of taking it out on you. And that makes me feel bad because I know what I did was wrong. And I want to apologize for it. That's guilt. I felt guilty. And I responded, and thank God I was forgiven, because thank God this man actually likes me. But that's guilt. And that's a pretty normal thing that people process. And hopefully you have a healthy way of going back and managing guilt. Like I just told you, go back and apologize. It's certainly what I do a lot of in my life and marriage. But that's guilt. And I did something bad. We all do something that maybe isn't the way we really want to be at all times. Ever work in progress. But that's guilt versus this definition of shame. Dr. Brown says shame means I am bad. Okay. Doing something bad and being bad. Big difference. Shame. I am bad. Shame on me. Shame that I took that out on Steve. I'm a terrible person. What a horrible person to do that. It was a really different experience with the same sort of situation. Okay. So in all honesty, I really don't consider myself a perfectionist. I know, ha ha ha. I don't really consider myself a perfectionist. My house is not perfectly clean. My office has, you know, moved around little bits and pieces, but I'm pretty organized, but I don't really see myself as a perfectionist. But I gotta tell you, those three words that Dr. Brown listed really made me think. And so I'm gonna repeat them again. You're in this perfectionistic mindset. Please perform perfect. Please perform perfect. These are getting into that, staying into that perfectionistic falsity. And so it makes me think of different expressions that I've said that really tie back to those words. It's like, I'm going to help you as soon as I can. When I don't have time, I really don't have time, but I want to please them. So I'll take the sacrifice on my sleep. I'll take the sacrifice on my family. I'll do whatever, but that's my pleasing mechanism. That is a perfectionistic. I'm going to have to own that now. That fake it till you make it. Get out there and do the performance. You've got to do the job, even if you're performing it, even if you are not feeling 100% that you know. And then I'm going to have to review this again and ensure that I don't miss anything before sending it to my client. That any attorney listening to this knows that sensation of it has to be perfect. There can't be a typo. There can't be a missing comma. We can't have any problems because, hey, in our world, you put the decimal in the wrong place and you've added $1,000 to, you've added or lost $1,000 to something. So it really does matter that we do that double check and we take it all on ourselves as one person trying to do it versus using the team at our disposal to help us get it done. That might be maybe part of the help to that perfect problem. Please perform perfect. Yeah. So I am guilty of believing I am what I accomplish and how will I accomplish it. I am completely guilty of that. How many type A's are in the house? Woo-hoo! Come on, I need my people. Hands up, type A's, here we are. I went to law school later in life, as I told you, and I laughingly said, is like, I don't care if you're kind of partial type A, there's nobody in law school that's not highly programmed into, I want to be accomplished and I want to accomplish it well. A little bit's not enough. It's that competitive drive to be successful and to do a good job. And how you do it is just as important as the win or the get or the accomplishment. So as I openly talk about how I'm having to process this for myself, perfection, and what was the title of this? Letting go of perfection. If shame really is the birthplace of perfectionism, then if I'm not perfect, or trying to be perfect, then I must be bad. Remember, shame means I'm bad. So if shame breeds perfectionism, then if I'm not perfect trying to be perfect, I'm bad. And that is deep. That is heavy, heavy, deep. Holy moly. Do I really feel this way about myself? Well, maybe I'm not conscious of it. But when that gerbil's running at 3 a.m. and you're trying to figure out how to please everybody, and you're trying to figure out how to make sure you don't make any mistakes, and you're trying to figure out how to perform at your top peak when you're not getting any sleep and you're getting sick because you're not getting any rest. Yeah, there's some reality to that statement. Maybe don't necessarily feel like you're bad, but you're certainly not healthy. So hold on, friends. I got good news. I really do. I've got good news. If we take the time and we work on loving ourselves, loving others, we can build a resilience muscle. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But that resilience muscle can then allow us to embrace those imperfections. We can embrace and let go of the need to see or be perfect. Let me say that again. If we can work on loving ourselves and loving others, we can build a resilience muscle and we can embrace our imperfections, letting go of the need to be perfect or to see ourselves as perfect. And I got to tell you, it's this struggle to be perfect which keeps us in fear of working through a conflict moment or situation. I really think that's part of what drives this avoidance. I've got to do it perfectly. I don't feel like I'm going to do it perfectly. That will make me bad. And so I'm just not going to do it. Hold on. If shame really is the birthplace of perfectionism, then if I'm not perfect or trying to be perfect, I must be bad. It is not true. It's not true. That's a falsity that many of us have taken that lie and built it into our psyches, yours truly included. Okay? We are working on our skills. We are working on being better people and stronger so that we manage ourselves and we manage ourselves as we go through times of uncertainty and conflict. It is not true that if you're not perfect or trying to be perfect, you're bad. Not true. Okay? So just go ahead and give yourself permission to accept that because it's not true. Okay. Talked about that not being true. Now what? What does it really mean? Okay. If we can accept that striving to do our best is the real goal, not perfection. If we can accept that the process is not perfect, so we don't need to avoid simply because we don't believe we can be perfect when doing it. If we can accept all of those things as truth and as fact and as reality, then all of us can take Dr. Brown's work and give ourselves permission to let go of perfection while accepting that what we're really trying to accomplish is doing our best. And just like building a muscle in the gym, our best gets just a little bit better every time we work at something. So that's all I have for you today. I know it's kind of heavy, but hang on, it's kind of heavy. Remember, be kind to your perfectionistic streaks, my type A's. Come on, be kind to yourself and know we are working on doing our best, and our best gets a little bit better all the time. We would love to hear from you here at Let's Talk About Conflict. You can find us at letstalkaboutconflict.com. You can send us an email through our website, or you can find us on Instagram and send us a DM. We really want to make sure this show is something that is helpful and never hurtful. And we know you don't have a lot of time, so thanks for spending some with us. And we will see you down the road.